I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 Peter, would you please? I thank God for Peter. Peter says in verse 17 about our sojourn. We're on a sojourn. That's where we are. We're here. And I've been on it now for 59 years with the Lord. And I thank God for His work in my life. And look at, if you would please, at verse number 18 of the first chapter of Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 18. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were redeemed, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your train, your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, and that your faith and hope might be in God. Father, help me, I pray. I want to be a blessing. You know I do, and I pray for your help. And speak to our hearts now, in Jesus' name, amen. I was out soul winning. In fact, Linda might have been with me in Coatesville. I knocked on the door. I didn't knock on the door. I came to the steps to go up to the door, and there was a man standing on the porch. So I said, howdy, how you doing? I just walked up the stairs and started talking to him, and we chit-chatted a few minutes, and I said, I'd like to ask you a question if I can. He said, sure. I said, if you died today, you're 100% sure you're going to heaven? He said, well, I think so. I said, oh. I said, what do you trust when he gets you there? And he says, well, I'm doing the best I can. I said, can I ask you another question? He said, sure. I said, if you could do the best you can and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? And he kind of looked at me like that. I said, the real truth, if you could work your way to heaven, why did Jesus come and die on the cross of Calvary? Why did God send his son? If you could join a church and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? Huh? And if you could just pay your bills on time, be a nice guy and a nice neighbor and so on, help everybody. And if you get to heaven by that, why did Jesus die? And so on. And the real truth is, most people don't understand why Jesus died as it was preached here and so on. But I know one thing. The Bible is very clear about salvation. See, I think that one of the things that we have learned even in this conference or Jubilee was that people need to hear that they are sinners and that there's a Savior to come and He died for their sins. We've got to get back to, I shouldn't say like you didn't, but we've got to be sure and emphasize repentance, that people are going to die and go to hell because they've sinned against God. And how is a person going to get rid of their sin? See? Well, the Bible here says that the precious blood of Jesus Christ, it says that He was a lamb that was slain, and I'm sorry, I read it wrong. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And what we see here is the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Kind of interesting about Him and the Lord Jesus as the Lamb, because here we're looking back, and the Bible's pointing back to the Lamb of God that was foreordained before the foundation of the earth. So Jesus has been the eternal Lamb of God, even in eternity past. Then you come into the Bible and we read about Abel. You remember when Cain and Abel had a disagreement and so on about salvation, and Cain wanted to bring the offering of the work of his hands, and Abel says, no, he brought the firstling, he brought a lamb, and so on. So here we see the Lamb of God for an individual. So we have the Lamb of God in eternity past. Now we have the Lamb of God for an individual. Then we go over to the Passover. You remember the Passover when the children of Israel were leaving and going out into the wilderness and then onto the Promised Land? The Bible says that every family would have a lamb, and then they would, on a given time and a given night, they would kill that lamb and slay that lamb and then take that blood, and they would go outside the house and they put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. Now, if you drew a line, what would you have? Cross. And so the blood was put outside, and the death angel would come by, and the firstborn, because the blood was there, the firstborn would not die, because judgment was coming if the blood wasn't there. And so now here we have the blood of the lamb that's for a family. So you have the blood of eternity past, the lamb of eternity past. We have a lamb for an individual, now a lamb for family. Then if you go to Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, and it talks about the lamb for the nation. There's the Israel. And here they're portraying the lamb that would, without blemish. And no, it didn't say that. It says, I can't quote it. But anyhow, the lamb that was given for a nation. Then in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, it says that John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Okay. And then we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and we see the Lamb being worshipped and sung about, and he's there at the altar, and he comes and sits down on the throne. So here's the Lamb in eternity forward. So God's telling us an awful lot about the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fact that the Lamb of God came to die and sacrifice and shed his blood. And I know this, elementary looking at it, it's as simple as this. And in fact, I want to say this. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, please listen. Please let me help you. Let me show you something. And then if you've got some kind of idea you can lose your salvation, or you think you're saved somehow by works, I want you to listen. Okay? So here's the Lamb of God that came because, see, God loved us. God loved us. And God had mercy on us. And God let his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, become the sacrifice to go to the cross of Calvary and to die for us and to shed his blood to wash away our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so Jesus is the Lamb of God that shed his blood for us. So we have the Lamb of God, eternity past. We have a Lamb of God for an individual. We have a Lamb of God for a family. Now we have a Lamb of God for the nation of Israel. Then we have the Lamb of God portrayed for the world. And then, of course, we're going to be with the Lamb forever and ever and ever. So obviously, Jesus is to be made a lot about because of his sacrifice and shedding of his blood to wash away our sins. And the only thing to wash away your sins and my sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And now, how do I know that? Well, first of all, I want you to think about the blood of Christ as we just portrayed it as the Lamb of God. And think about it like this. There's three views that I want you to think about as you're looking and take three views of the blood. Number one, let's take a look at God's view. What does God really think about the blood of Jesus Christ? And if you want to write down an answer, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. God is 100% satisfied with the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God is 100% satisfied by the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sin and for salvation. Now, that's important because we have to make up our mind whether if salvation is by grace, how is it by grace? And it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And so we know that he was satisfied. Now, how do I know that? Well, let's take a look at, for instance, the first thing I thought about, if you think about it, is the Passover. You know, what happened to Passover? Well, they took this lamb, and each household had a lamb. And they would take that lamb on a given night, and they'd slit the throat of that lamb and take that blood on a hyssop. Then they'd go outside of the house. Now, where were the people? On the inside. Where was the blood now? On the outside. And he strike that blood upon the post and the lintel of that doorway, and then shut the door and go in the family to eat that lamb. And the death angel came over, and the death angel didn't open up the door and say, let's see, I want to talk to you. Oh, no, you can't. You better leave. I'm sorry. Didn't do that. Everybody in that house, because of the blood, God was 100% satisfied with that blood because that was God's plan and God's way of salvation. And so so the blood wasn't for you, technically. See, the blood wasn't shed here for the Israelites. Technically, it was shed, and they were the benefactors of it. But the real truth is the blood was shed for God because God was satisfied with the blood for the payment of sin. See, I think about the Day of Atonement. The high priest, who represents the Lord Jesus Christ, would come, and they bring two goats, and he would pray because he's going to represent the nation of Israel, and he's going to go into the Holy of Holies, all right? But he's not going to go without blood. So what he does is he takes one, they cast lots. One of them was to be turned loose. One was to die. So he would take the one who's going to die, and he put his hands upon the head of that goat, And he'd step back and transfer the weight of his body to the head of that goat, which is identification of the burden of sin. And then he would pray and ask God to forgive him and the people of their sin. And then he would take that blood and put it on a hyssop, sprinkle upon the altar, but he'd go inside the holy place, through the holy place, to the curtain, and inside the Holy of Holies. Now, and right there at the mercy seat, God is his presence is there. And he's there, and he receives that blood sacrifice. See, now where are the people? They're out there. They say 2.5-3 million of them. They're out there. In fact, most of them didn't even see the blood, because that's not important. See, the blood primarily was not being shed for them. They were the recipients of the blood, but it was shed to satisfy God, to satisfy the Lord God, okay? And so that's how I know he's satisfied, and it's for him and not us. I thought about when I came out to from Michigan to the East Coast and went to Exton to pastor. I was about 25, 30 miles from Philadelphia. So I'd never been on the East Coast since I was a high school graduate. When I graduated, we had a senior trip, came to Washington and New York. I didn't know anything, but I didn't hear about the Independence Hall and the Bell and so on. So I would go down there and see that, take my family. Then later I take visitors. They come and preach for me. I take them down and we see that. And I thought about this situation one time, and I thought, because they took the bell down and they put it in a hut or house. I don't know what to call it. It's glassed in hut. And so people could see it up close and so on and so on. And it was right there. Probably, I'm going to say, if I remember correct, you can correct me if you want to, but I think about from here to the back door that's where the street was, about that far from that door back there to the bell. And, of course, people come and fill that concourse right there, and they come and see that bell. But there are thousands of people driving by out there, and they never saw the bell. They never looked at the bell. And if I could have killed a man right there in front of that bell, I could have slit their throat or whatever. Most of the people wouldn't have seen that. See? Well, when Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, you know what? God, that was for God. That was for God. And God saw that. And God was 100% satisfied with that. And so on. Now, I remember this. When Jesus is on the cross, remember when he was dying on the cross, the Bible says that it grew dark around the world. I think it was worldwide. Theocracies in Egypt said either God is dying or the world's coming to an end. The real truth is God was dying. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was dying, and he cried out, remember, he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As Jesus died upon the cross and shed his blood for our sins, it was there on the cross, but it was dark. And the reason it's dark is because God had turned his back. God had turned the light out, please. And Jesus was dying. You weren't there, and I wasn't there. You never saw the blood. We believe the blood is up in heaven, by the way. But we didn't see the blood. And so Jesus died and shed his blood. But it was for God. That's why I was in the darkness and so on. The judgment of God came upon him in the darkness. And Jesus satisfied him. Remember, in fact, it was preached here in a message. He said, when he died, he said, it is finished. Remember that? The tetelestai, I believe is the word for that, means it's paid in full. Paid in full. Tetelestai. It is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. So what was finished? Everything that needed to be done to save you and I and anybody else. Okay? Now, let's take another view. Not only God's view, but how about man's view? How about our view? Well, I plead with you that common sense says, if God's view is I am 100% satisfied, I think maybe my view ought to be I'm 100% satisfied. We have a loved one, my wife and I, and she believes that she can lose her salvation. I tell you what, I don't know how you can know you're saved if you believe that. If you can be saved and not know it, you can lose it and never miss it. Let me say that again. If you be saved and not know it, you can lose it and never miss it. And but she feels, I guess, if she goes to church, she feels good, she's going to go to heaven. I mean, she must be saved. So on. But I don't know how you live that. Years ago, I went to pastor a church out in the Midwest for it was a little church, country church. It split just before I got there, and I went. I won't go through too much detail to go into that. But when I got there, they called me to come and pray, pastor that church, but the church, the half that I got out of the split was the church, was the part of the church that was really, they didn't have any standards or conviction. They didn't tell me the truth or anything. And I took a church. I was just every day shocked about the fact. And man alive, I had pastored a church in Michigan. It was a large church, probably about 1,600-1,700 at that time. And they had bought me, the church had bought me, at that time it was 92 Oldsmobile, 88 Oldsmobile, and 92. Isn't that right? You remember back then? Anyhow, it was one of those big old Oldsmobiles. They bought it for me as part of my salary package. And it was in the church, had it financed. So when I got to this church in the Midwest, they told me when they finally accepted the church and became their pastor, they told me that they would take care of that car payment on that, and I could keep that car. I go, okay, praise the Lord. Well, I was there about a month, we had the deacons meeting, and I said, can I ask you something? Which one of you deacons signed papers? Because we need to get this contract out of the church up there and put it in our church. And they all bowed their head. I said to myself, I didn't say let's pray, did I? And so anyhow, one said, well, we didn't think we were going to pay for your car. That's okay. All right. I just went on. Didn't say anything. But they weren't paying me enough to pay the car payment. And I'm not going to go into debt. I wasn't going to do it. I said, no. So I called the church where I was pastoring and talked to the new pastor and everything. He said, yeah, we if you don't need that car, we could use it. We need a staff car. So they sent my pastor, my former pastor that I got saved under, I told you about, because he became a staff member in church, and I became my pastor's pastor for a while. So they sent him down to pick up the car. So now I don't have a car. I'm walking around. And it's in a small town and everything, so I'm walking. And I didn't say anything to anybody. And finally, they found out. Where's your car, preacher? And I said, I told him, I said, I can't afford it. I told you I couldn't afford it. I said, I can't go into debt. I said, in my mind, I'm saying I can't go into debt because I don't know how long you're going to put up with me, and I'm going to put up with you, to tell you the truth. And they came to me on Sunday night about two or three weeks later, and they said to me, they didn't let me come down off the platform after I preached, and the deacons come up and stood there, and they said to me, Pastor, we want to give you a car. So they gave me $1,000 and told me to go buy a car for about $2,500. And he says, go buy yourself a car. And so I'm thinking, why don't they just let me keep my car if they're going to make the payment on a new car? That's not what they had in mind. So I come back the next Sunday, and I'd found a car. They come and said, preacher, can we have the keys to your new car? And it was not a new one. It was a 73, I think it was a, I'm not sure, Buick, is it? 73 Buicks, one of the smaller Buicks. And anyhow, so they were really happy. They liked that car, and they thought, so they wanted my keys. So I got my keys. I said, well, we're gonna put it, fill up with gas, and we're going to fill up with groceries. I mean, praise the Lord. Well, the next thing I know, they come up to me after the service. They had everybody wait. They came up, and they handed me back my keys and the payment book from the bank. Said, we praise the Lord. Hope you like your car we bought you. They didn't buy me a car. They put a down payment on the car. Now, you know what a lot of people believe about salvation? They believe they got saved, but they have to work now. They have to make the payments on salvation. You know, so they really don't have salvation. Jesus on the cross of Calvary did not just make a down payment. He bought us. He paid for it. He paid for our salvation. We've been purchased. Amen. We're bought with a price. Let me ask you a question. If we're bought by a price, did he get all he paid for? So you know what? Man's view is, I've got to agree with God. I've got to have the same view of the salvation that God has provided me through Jesus Christ and through the shed blood. I've got to have the same value he has. I must accept it. that God, just like God accepted, he's 100% satisfied. Guess what? I'm so glad that I don't have to work my way to heaven. I wouldn't have made it 1 minute. You wouldn't make it either. So on. So there's the man's view. Then guess what? There's another view. Guess somebody else has got a view of the blood. It's the devil. He's taken the blood out of a lot of hymn books and a lot of songs, to, you know, down through the years. And he's got people believing they're saved by works. And they believe because they do this or do that, that they're okay. My wife and I were at we stopped at a garage sale. My car automatically brakes when they go by garage sale, you know, yard sales. And we went, and there was I was about to call him an elderly man, and because he told me how old he was. He was 62. But he looked, honestly, I'm telling you, he looked like he's 80. And he lived a hard life, you could call it. And so he was real funny and friendly and everything. So I just chit-chatted with him a little bit, and then I gave him a track. I said, hey, I want you to read this. It'll tell you how to get to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, don't they? He said, well, I do. And he started, he talked real loud, and everybody was watching him and hearing him and so on. And I started witnessing him. He just started out yelling, I don't believe that, blankety blank. No, Jesus is not nobody's savior. He didn't believe it. The devil convinced him. But he didn't believe there's a hell either. See? And so the devil has a viewpoint. And if he can get us to accept his viewpoint and see it like he does, he may just let us go ahead and believe it. Oh, yeah, you're saved. You believe in Jesus. Everything's okay. You know, but no, you don't have to worry. No. You can't lose your salvation. God loves people. God loves people too much to send them to hell. Why would God, who loved everybody, and he surely loves you, why would he send you to hell? So the devil will do everything he can to keep you and I and anybody else from believing that there is. Thank God there is a Savior. And that Savior came and died on the cross and shed his blood to wash away my sins, was buried and rose again. He's living today. Praise God. We have a Savior that gave himself for us. And I'm glad he saved me. I hope you are too.